Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think that prophecy was basically my whole sermon. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And Pastor Joshua really had no idea. You know, as I was preparing in mind of teaching another subject, the Lord said, this is the basis of that other subject, of God's garden, and how we are his garden, and how he has planted seed in us to bear much fruit, and to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So I'll be ministering that next Sunday, but he told me this was the foundation of living in the more than enough. It was the roots. And it's all working together, how the Lord, even waking up early this morning, had told me some instructions of some special things he wants to happen today. I said, I don't know how this is all going to work, Lord, but we're just going to, he said, it's a surprise. It's a surprise. And I said, okay. Some people don't like surprises, but he says, make it a surprise. I said, okay, praise the Lord. So we're going to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. Now, if you have your outlines from last week, that's great. If you have a revised one today, they're in the back. So you could follow and know that everything that we preach here and teach here at ABC is scriptural and lines up with the Word of God. Amen. And let's quick review. Living in the more than enough, the overview, just like you take your car to the mechanic for a checkup to correct anything that's wrong and maintain the car in good working order to perform at its maximum potential. Let's do a checkup to see if you are living in the more than enough in the realm of the kingdom of God. If there is a lack in any area of your life, you have not arrived to the more than enough yet, and that's where we're going to get to right after this message. Amen? And don't let the head talkers, those are the demons who talk to you through thoughts in your head, convince you that a life of status quo with the attitude that everything is okay the way it is cause you to miss out on your inheritance in Christ Jesus. As a co-heir or a joint heir with Jesus, God wants you to have super abundant supply of everything in your life because he is the God of more than enough. So don't settle for just enough. Live in the life. Okay, living in the just enough isn't God's will for you. Live in his life as a king's kid, for you are good enough to reign over this earth as an ambassador of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Most people only pray to get just enough. But we don't realize that. We say, okay, thank you, Lord, for my daily bread. But you know what? When God gave manna to the Hebrews when they were in the desert, he could only give them that day because they had no refrigeration. And if they took more than a day's ration, it would turn to worms. Except for the day before Sabbath, he gave them a two-day supply because he wanted them to rest the next day and not have to gather food. So those of you that are not taking a full Sabbath, that are not resting and spending time with God in that day and your family and just relaxing, somebody says, well, do I have to do housework on that day? Not if you don't want to. But God wants us to recharge and get more energy, more than what we need, get recharged on that day so that we'll be able to spend all the energy that we get to the kingdom of God for the other 6 days. Okay? So number three under A says, remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful or necessary or essential for me. That comes from Proverbs 30, verse 8. And they're talking about vanity. Vanity is, you know, get away the poverty, get away the riches. It says vanity and all false opinions concerning God, all unbelief, idolatry, or affection of vain things of this world as riches, pleasures, honors, or the bewitching power and sad effects thereof, the writer of this proverb was looking at, get all the lies away from me, all the things that are vain, all the things that are ungodly. I don't want it. But it's not to say that riches is bad, but this person wanted to concentrate so much on the Lord that they didn't want the arrogance of riches, how some rich people demean other people and they think they're better than them and they scoff and mock the poor people. He didn't want that. It's not that he didn't want money and abundance of God. He didn't want what came with it, what he saw other people. But he didn't want poverty either. And you can't give to the poor if you are the poor. Right? So, you know, lies. We don't want the lies of the devil anymore. He is a smokescreen. He will bewitch the minds of people to tell them things that they think are good for them, and they do it. And then when things, the outcome is bad, then they realize, oh, learned that lesson. Hindsight is 20/20 vision, isn't it? We've all learned from our lessons, and that's why we teach others what we have made a mistake so they don't make a mistake, right? So all challenges that you have in your life right now, they're all a lie, every one of them. Any lack, any want of any good thing, any pain, any infirmity, any disease, any mountain that looks too big, every single little problem, every big problem, it's all a lie of the devil. Because God says that we are the healed, getting rid of lying symptoms. God says that he has provided more than enough for us, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask, hope, or think of. If you can think of it, he wants to give you more. Why are we just in the just enough for me? Me, 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 me. No. God has caused you and raised you up to be his kid. We're adult sons and daughters of God, the children of God. We are supposed to have everything the king has because we can't do the work of the kingdom without the resources. And everything we need is in heaven. Why are we not living in it? Not so that we could hoard it unto ourselves, but that we would be rivers of living water so that blessings flow from us to others. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're not listening to the father of lies, the devil, anymore. We get rid of unbelief and doubt. Mark 9:23-24 says, we're in number 5. Jesus said to him, if you can believe all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Today, if you have a lack in your life, say that simple prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, help my unbelief. And then cast out the demons of doubt and unbelief, because they are what roadblock us from really receiving the full word of God into our lives. In B, God wants you to live a life of more than enough. Money is mentioned 1,346 times minimum. It's really mentioned more. It's probably more than 2,000 times in the Bible. Do you think it's an important subject to God? So money can't be evil. He wants us to have money so that we would be able to keep buying things for the kingdom of God, supplying the needs of the poor, but most of all, to bless the church. Most of all, to bring our tithes into the storehouse. Most of all, to honor God with our first fruits because we love him. Amen? Jesus spoke about money more than any other subject in the New Testament. Money is mentioned more times than even heaven and hell combined. Interesting. Number 4, no one can serve two masters, God or money. The Bible also refers to money as mammon. Matthew 6:24 in the Amplified says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. Pastor Josh always says to us, you know, this earth is not our resources. Electricity, we don't have to depend on the electrical company because God will supply every need. I remember that a relative of mine who has some businesses in Cathedral City by Palm Springs, two homes for the elderly, and there was a brownout in the whole Palm Springs Cathedral City district, and I think it was 104 degrees, and even at night, it was like 101. You don't want anybody, but especially seniors and children, to be in that kind of heat, you know? And so as she got the phone call and she was driving out to the facility to see what she could do to help, she took authority and commanded in the name of Jesus that the two houses would have electricity and air conditioning regardless if the city didn't. Do you know when she arrived and lights were only on at her house and the other facility? Both of her facilities. Nobody else. It was pitch black everywhere else. Grocery stores, gas stations, everything. Who was lighting up those houses? Jesus, the light of life. Hallelujah. That is the God of more than enough that we serve. That is the God of more than enough that is inside of you. That is the light that is in you, and you are shining in the darkness to your family, to your friends, to your neighborhood, and your house will not have any harm or evil come to it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number five, money isn't evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 11, "But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish, useless, and godless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at, pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like, faith, love, and steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart," it says in the Amplified. So God doesn't want us to love money, but use it as a tool. We need to love the giver of gifts, not want the gifts. We need to love God more than anything else. Amen? Now, when you show God, number six, that you can be faithful in the little things, he'll entrust you with greater things. And Luke 16:10 through 12 says, "If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" I want to be trusted with the true riches of heaven. Do you? I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening to the teaching this morning. You wouldn't be sitting at home watching your computer. You wouldn't be sacrificing on Father's Day to not be at the beach or barbecuing already, right? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? So, everything on this earth is just a vapor. It'll pass away. What is the truest thing that will stand? Only the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God watches to see if you and I are good stewards so he can prosper us. You could read this story later in Matthew 25:20-30. There was a parable about a master who divided up the money amongst the servants, and the servants who took the money that were given to them, and they earned more money They made money off of their initial investment. They were told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The servant that did nothing with his money and buried it was considered wicked and lazy. Hoarding is a sin because it doesn't bless anybody to hold on to things that nobody else can use and it just gets dusty. You know, I go through our stuff and we usually spring clean, but we're still moving in to our new place and unpacking. And you know what? I'm making three big piles. One is giveaway to Salvation Army, and those truck drivers know me well. They keep coming to the house, a big pile of stuff all the time. Throw away and keep very little. I want to become a minimalist. I don't want disarray anymore. I don't want disorganization. If I'm holding on to something for more than a year and haven't used it, why am I not blessing someone who can use it right now? Amen? Because when God says go, and we have to be ready to get up and go and do what he wants to do, we can't be burdened down with stuff anymore. Amen? When the rapture comes, I am not going with my gold jewelry, my silver jewelry, my trinkets. I don't want to be held back on this earth with that stuff. I just want to get out of here. Amen? I'm traveling light. Right? The more than enough I want is not more treasure, but I want more of him. He's the best treasure we could ever have and receive. And I want to give him more of my faithfulness. I want to give him everything I have. Amen? Everything that I am. Hallelujah. And so God wants us investing. Number 8. With wealth comes responsibility. If you're faithful with the money, opportunity, and skills given to you, you will be rewarded here on earth as well as in heaven. But number 9, God wants us investing into the kingdom of God and supporting this church. Not every church in the world. I love Christian TV. I think that the brothers and sisters there preaching are doing a great job. They are getting the gospel into every nation. I support that work. But when you have a challenge, you can't call them at 9 o'clock at night and say, "Could you please help me or my family?" They're not your pastor. Fatherhood is one of the hardest jobs. Motherhood is one of the hardest jobs on this earth. But do you know that the percentage of the people in jail, the majority of them are fatherless? And if they had a father that was good to model, they would never be in crime. The importance of fatherhood is so great that the devil knew it and started breaking up homes and started making men abandon their women and their children and become selfish. And those children were forlorn and lost. And now we have generations and generations of people who don't know what it's like to have a family life that's not dysfunctional. I keep hearing that word, dysfunctional, dysfunctional. And every family is dysfunctional. You know, I have a degree in psychology. So I asked the head of the psychology department, "Well, you give us all these examples of dysfunctional families. There is not one example in these textbooks of a functional, normal, happy family." He says it doesn't exist. I said, "Well, then I'm throwing this book away." Because what am I going to be doing in the field of psychology to help people if I can't get them to be normal? I said, "You know what?" Because I went to a Christian university. I said, "I tell you who is the most functional family I know. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we need to emulate them. And my heavenly Father is everything that my earthly father is not. And I have a good father. I come from a good family. I love him dearly, but he is human. But everything that I need is in the Heavenly Father." So when people said, "I didn't have a dad," I said, well, I'll invite you into my family called the family of God, and you could join us and share our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
And that is what's called functional. Today is Father's Day. We honor our Heavenly Father. We thank Him for all that He and Jesus did for us. Look at every veteran that died and left their kids and their father and mother and their loved ones. They sacrificed their flesh and blood to keep us safe and to keep us free. But they did not battle the hordes of hell like Jesus did. They did not suffer every pain and every sin of every single person who has ever lived and ever will live. You did not change your flesh to become another creature because Jesus, as deity and God, gave up His supernatural self. And He had to come down to earth and be born of a virgin and take on flesh and blood, because only flesh and blood have legal right for the Adamic covenant to be able to lord and dominion over this earth. Adam blew it, so someone else had to come in as plan B. And He loved us enough to do it. We are a grateful people today, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus, Your Son, for each one of us. He did more than enough for us, more than we could have asked, hoped, or thought of. Each one of us should have gone to death row and paid the price. And when we became born again and asked God to forgive us of our sin of rejecting Jesus, God looked at us and said, verdict, not guilty. I will give everything and anything I have to Him. As the day I promised Him when I got saved, that I would serve Him for the rest of my life because of gratitude. And so we honor our Heavenly Father this day. And we repent for not receiving the more than enough that He has stored up for us. We repent of unworthiness, insecurities, doubt, and unbelief. We repent of not allowing God to minister to our minds to show us so much more that He has for us, so we could have more blessings to bless others. God is watching each one of us. And He's already said it to us, but I want Him to maintain saying it to us. As He sees each one of you, He sees a servant that He wants to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He wants to see what you're investing in your church. Or are you just coming to receive and receive and receive? What are you giving back? What are you showing as your thanksgiving and your gratefulness? Are you praying for this church every day? I know Pastors Joshua and Sarah are grateful for your prayers. Are you giving 10% of what God gave you? Because you wouldn't have it to begin with if He wasn't blessing you. I know Pastor Joshua has said that God has helped him to mentor people so that they arose to become millionaires and then decided to leave the church and not bless the blesser. I'm asking God in my heart, what else can I do to bless this church and Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah? Number 10, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. People who say tithing is an Old Testament law, it's done away with, we don't have to tithe anymore, they think that they're not going to be giving their gratitude to God anymore in the way of finances, that it's not necessary, then why did God mention money so often? I want to be obedient to the word. And whether or not it's required, I want to give because I am thankful. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and then you went next door to pay your bill to another restaurant? I think you'd be doing a lot of dishes in the first restaurant if you did. We give our money where we feel we've been blessed. And if I have a very good wait staff, Pastor James and I tip double because we're grateful to be taken care of in such a good way. I know people who have mortgaged their houses because their medical insurance did not pay for a procedure and went to a doctor that's a specialist, and the amount of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars for surgeries and medical care, they gladly sold their house or refinanced their mortgage, whatever they needed to do, sold their car, sold their business to give payment to the doctor who saved their life. They didn't even bat an eye at that. Doesn't that show gratitude? So why are the churches in the United States only 10% of the people tithe? Why? Shouldn't we be more grateful than anybody else because we have had our salvation paid for? Now, this church has generous people, but many churches do not because they don't get it. And we need to spread that gospel, the gospel of gratefulness. We need to give out of our heart what we treasure and what we value and our money. Put our money where our mouth is. You know, I wasn't going to share this because the Lord says to give in secret. But he said to share this. I don't know why, just one day God put in my mind that we were cheated of our inheritance, my family, through some circumstances, and because of our grandparents. And their will was not abided by. And we forgave the people involved and everything, and ended up with nothing. But the love of our grandmother was more important than money. We never seek money because God always provides for us. We've been accused of, you know, all kinds of things. And people would be surprised when we were challenged financially. We gave money to people that made more money than we did when they were in dire straits because God told us to. I put my last $20 in an offering basket one day when I was on the mission field. Had no gas in my car. Had no food in my house to feed my 10 foster kids. And that car kept running for over 10 days, going 200 miles a day every time God sent me to minister somewhere. Beans kept coming out of the pot. Remember I told you last week, black beans are great, but I'm on a bean break now. For 10 years, I hate black beans. God, can I eat something else now? It's a great miracle, but the beans did not change to something else. It was still beans, but it multiplied, okay? And that's the God of more than enough. I gave out, if I wanted to get out of debt, I gave my way out of debt. I have to invest in the kingdom. And when I invest in the kingdom, the returns are greater and more than enough. That day, a lady came up to me and she was speaking English because I was in Central America. And she said, "Are you a missionary?" I said, "Yes." And she says, "I'm inviting you to lunch." She didn't know I put my last 20 bucks, and I was like, "Thank you." I'm thinking, how do I get there? You know, God, it's farther than what my gas tank was reading at the time. God said, "Just go start your car." So my car just kept driving. I get there. It was a banquet she invited me to. And because of her, I met the Chinese ambassador and his wife, and they became financial partners of my ministry. Then I met the presidents of Central America. Then I met presidential candidates. Then all my needs were being met according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. If you have a lack, you need to give more to God. And when you give more to him, then he gives more than you can imagine, hope, or think of in Jesus' name. So I said, Lord God, I ask you for my lost inheritance on earth, because I know I already have my inheritance with Jesus Christ. I ask for it back. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you that. And every time you have ministered to somebody that was blessed and they are now prospering, I'm going to remind them so they can give you a thankful offering. The next month, we got over $50,000. Maybe that's not a lot of money to some of you, but it was a great blessing to us. We did not use the majority of that. We asked God what to do with the money that we wanted to seed a blessing to others. And we blessed ministers and ministries with the majority of that money. And let me tell you, we needed a lot of that money for our bills. We decided to seek the kingdom of God first and bless others. And to this day, our well never runs dry. We never have a lack or want of any good thing. God has poured out blessings upon us greater than we can imagine or hope for, because he's our source. We didn't hoard onto that money and go buy this, go buy that. You know, there are a couple things we did. You know, we didn't say, oh, we're just going to pay, you know, for this and that. No. We could have gotten, you know, a whole house full of furniture. We could have gotten anything we wanted. And it's very funny, during that time, there were some people accusing us of only wanting to get money from, you know, people. And it was funny because it was actually not true, the opposite. And so I was emulating one of our mutual friends who was a multimillionaire, and he said that he gave God 90% of his millions and lived off at 10%. And he never lacked. And he financed so many ministries. I could name big ministries. He helped them get started with millions. That's what I want to be, a giver of the kingdom of God. I want to expand God's kingdom. Do you think that this church is significant? How many people have been blessed by this church? And I thank God. You know, we were offered pastorships in many places with some big ministries, big ministers, out of state and here in California. I was offered a position with Dr. Cho's ministry. I was with Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And we feel like we're Gideon's army. There's a lot of big places that we could be at with big, huge ministries on TV. And God told us to come to the place that is the most valued in his heart for us. ABC. It's changed our lives. And I thank you. The sacrifice as a pastor is so great. You fathers and mothers think that you've sacrificed a lot raising your children. It's 1,000 times harder to pastor a church. And there are 2 people here who don't take salaries. And when you call and you ask the church to bless you and help pray for you, they give of themselves and everything they have to bless us. They are a selfless people. They are not selfish. They give everything. The countless hours this staff puts into this ministry. I know many who stay up till midnight. Some of us didn't sleep for 24 hours, twice a month, for years. There wasn't enough time in the day to get stuff done. And you never hear anybody complain because we do it for the love of God, for what He did for us. We need your help. We need your prayers. We need the ministry of helps and more hands. Because this church has a calling to go out to the world and to be a trumpet and a watchman on the wall to warn people that they're not ready for the second coming of Jesus. And not only that, there's so many ministries who tell of what their theory of when Jesus is coming back, but they're not telling them what to do to get ready. They're not telling them how to be so that they could get raptured. And we need to get the word out, the revelation that God's giving to Pastor Joshua, to the world. We have front row seats, but we need to be used as disciples to take this message to others. We need to keep giving more and more intercession to this ministry. We need to support this ministry and hold up the hands like Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands during the battle. We need to start ministering to our own people so that we don't rely just on Pastor Joshua. We need to be the warriors. We need to be those that are ready for the Master's use. And many of you have done well, graduating from semester 3, going to School of Dominion. Those of you that are going to be starting, those of you doing it online. Whatever level you're at, you are on your right path. And keep going and keep repeating over and over till you get that word in you. Because when the terrible day comes, it's too late to prepare then. And I love hearing the testimonies in School of Dominion of the people taking their authority and things that they're taking authority of. And I get an idea to do that for myself too. Because I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. I never thought about that one. It's amazing. Number 11, God wants you to prosper and be fruitful. Last week, we declared that we are blessed. We do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We do not stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But we delight in the law of the Lord, and on His law we meditate day and night. We are like trees planted by the streams of water, which will yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever we do prospers. It does not matter if there's a drought. It does not matter if there's an economic downturn. God will continue to bless each one of His disciples, those that abide in Him, and ABCers are going to be leading the pack. We are forerunners in the body of Christ. We need to spearhead what's about to come to help others and to be strong enough that when there are people lying and dying in the streets, be healed in the name of Jesus, they jump up. Dead people, be healed in the name of Jesus. Arise in the name of Jesus. When there's not enough paramedics in the end times, we don't need them. Just lay hands on people. Anoint them with oil if they're Christians. Number 12, you will prosper when you meditate on the word. Number 13, you will prosper if you obey God's word and do not fear. Number 14, we must seek first the kingdom of God and you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2, that is essential. I would star that one, number 15. Number 16, God wants you to have super abundance or more than enough. Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified is Pastora Sarah's favorite version. Now to Him who by inconsequence of the faction of His power that is at work within us is able to carry out His purpose and do abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hope, or dreams. I dare you this week to ask for greater. Imagine for bigger and better that you have never been able to see before. God will show you. He wants to use you in a greater way. In number 17, God does not supply the needs of every Christian according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 15 through 19. What? He does not? I'll tell you who he does supply the needs for. This promise is not for every Christian, but for those who financially supported Paul's ministry. If you support ABC, if you support your pastor, if you support who feeds you the word of God, just like when you go to a restaurant, I just told you that when you pay for food there, we don't pay the restaurant across the street. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now people are saying, I better give more than 10%. Because if I invest 10%, I'm only going to get 30, 60, and 100 fold of that. But if I tithe, but if I give the offerings, I get my 100 fold blessings. But if I invest more than 10%, I'm going to get a bigger return because my seed is bigger, right? I don't want just enough. I'm not just going to give 10%. We've never just given 10%. We've always given extra because we want the abundance of harvest so that we can go out and do more for God. Do you think that when God calls me to go to Guatemala, Central America, I could just ride my bike there? I need to buy a ticket. What do you buy it with? Money. Right? When we arrive, do you think we take offerings? Well, we do, but we get chickens and fruit and whatever because it's all they have. You know? So we have to bring in the food. We have to bring in the water. We have to bring in the chefs. We have to bring everything in. I'm a giver. But usually it's because I was sent to places didn't have when I was in Central America. But we brought the gospel, and after we left and they got saved, their town prospered. We showed them giving. It's better to give than receive. So if you want a bigger blessing, give to your church. Give over and above so that you could get a bigger harvest. You name the harvest you want, you give the seed for it. Okay? That's the God of more than enough. 18, tithing protects us and brings blessings to us. When you tithe to your church, Malachi 3:10, we all know this scripture, but let's read down. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income in the Amplified, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, as ABT teaches us, the Lord of Shabaoth, Jehovah Shabaoth. It's the head of the armies of God, of the entire universe, is behind you when you tithe. You don't tithe, you don't get the protection. Hello? I want that. People pay for their club membership and they get the benefits of it, right? People pay for their, when they live in a housing neighborhood, into their HOA, so that if there's a gated community, they get the guard to protect them because they're paying into it. Well, that guard's not going to do that much for you. And especially if he can't run very fast when someone's going to be running after him with a gun, I'd rather have God protect me. So I'm paying into the tithing club every month like I should. Not out of obligation, because I want to be part of the club. I want to have those legions of angels to come and protect me. Amen? Which God has done. You know, when you go into a war-torn country in the middle of a war, you got to know that you have your MPs and bodyguards with you, or you're not going to make it. And especially when I was there and took a wrong turn and was in the war zone, like I told you, and it wasn't the army in El Salvador, who were pro-United States, the guerrillas were outfitted, and they did not like North Americans, and I had a big California plate on my car. And when I came to that barricade, and they raped and pillaged villages, they cut up and dismembered people and tortured them, I had to know I had a big God protecting me, or I wouldn't have even gone. So it didn't matter where he sends me. Doesn't matter. We got through the barricade. and people were shocked. How about when someone attacked me with a knife to my throat? I said, stop in the name of Jesus. And they froze. They might still be there today. I don't know. But this woman of God ran from that guy. Run from sin. But you have to know your authority. Because I was a tither, I knew I was backed by heaven. Do you know that Pastor James and I went to a conference of pastors and ministers? And the guest speaker is an international speaker, very well known, man of God. And God had him have people repent who were not fully tithing to God. To go up to the altar and kneel down and repent. Because that's why they had curses and poverty in their life. Do you know there are only five of us left in our seats in an auditorium with hundreds of people. We have never failed to tithe. We are obedient to the word of God. These are ministers, as well as regular congregation of the ministers who are supposed to be preaching the gospel. You cannot get more than enough if you don't do the basic requirements. The basic requirements is tithe. And that just gets you in the club. God wants to give you so much more. He has it stored up for you in heavenly places. Wants to pour it out upon you. If blessings are not overtaking you and running to get you every single day, we need to get to that more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. B, 18b, the devil wants to steal your blessing by compromising your tithe. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly till it overflows, the Amplified says. Till it overflows. We are to be receiving so much that we want to give out more and more money, more and more money. Just keep coming. As a tither, as long as you seek the Lord by inquiring of him and yearning for him with all your heart, God will prosper you. Worship God with your first fruit of your tithes. It says in Deuteronomy 6, 9 through 11. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I bring the first fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord. We are to worship God with our giving. So rejoice. God wants to give you gooder things, not just good, but gooder. Amen? Hallelujah. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, as it says in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine, not stale wine. He wants to give you new stuff. Number 19, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of your Lord God. We cannot have blessings running to overtake us unless we're obedient. Number 20, repent of worry and seek God's kingdom first. Matthew 6, 31 through 13. And number 21, see yourself as a descendant of Abraham, an heir of the covenant, according to Acts 3, 25, and the Amplified says, you are the descendants or sons of the prophets and the heirs of covenant, which God made and gave to your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed or heir shall all the families of the earth be blessed and benefited. You have a right to be blessed. You are an heir of Abraham. You are a seed of Abraham. It is legally your inheritance, our inheritance. Number 22, God teaches you to profit. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. And number 23, it is God who gives you power to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8:18. Number 24, give and it will be given unto you. The Amplified says in Luke 6:38, give gifts and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will they pour into your pouch formed by your bosom of your robe and use it as a bag. For which measure you deal out with the measure you use, when you confer benefits to others, it will be measured back to you. You want a little bit, give 10%. You want a lot, give offerings over and above. Number 25, it's so important that God reveals to you that you are an heir of God. According to Romans 8:17 and Galatians 3:29, you are joint heir with Christ. And God mentions it 5 times. So it's important to him. It's also found in Ephesians 3:6, Galatians 4:7, and Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, meaning persecuted, that we may also be glorified together. God wants to get it in our brains 5 times that we are his heirs. We are joint heirs. Everything that belongs to him belongs to us. What he owns, we own. Why are we asking for just enough when he has more than enough to give us? Amen? Number 26, generosity brings prosperity, especially in an economic drought. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Number 27, God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work, according to the Common English Bible translation, 2 Corinthians 9:8. You are a king's kid. If he's the king of kings, guess what you are? A king, not a poverty-stricken king. Not a king who can't get healed. He wants you to run your race. He's preparing us. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:20, you're an ambassador of Christ. You are good enough. Because you are so good enough, he's made you an ambassador. Amen? To represent him. Genesis 1 says everything God made is what? Good. So you need to say it. I am good enough. That didn't sound good enough. I am good enough. You know how many times kids are told they're not good enough? And it sticks. Oh no. The Lord wants to remind you, you were always good enough. Amen? Because number 2, under D, God has made you a king, a royal race, the Amplified says, and a priest to our God, and you shall reign on the earth. Number 3, Jesus is the King of Kings to those who are called, chosen, and faithful. Number 4, renew your mind to see how much you have already been transformed. Romans 12:2 in the Amplified says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewed of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, that you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. God has already put that DNA seed inside of you. You have been transformed. You have been made into a born-again creature. You are not of this earth. You have been made to be a king and a royal priesthood. You have already been made who God wants you to be. And all you have to do is let it come out and let it blossom, because it's already in there. You don't have to say, God, can you please help me tie my shoelaces? He already gave you the hands to tie it. So why are we saying, God, give me the money? It's already yours, honey. Just grab it. Just take it. It's yours. When you say, God, please give me my healing, he says, are you kidding me? I already gave it to you at the cross. What are you wallowing about? Just learn how to receive it. Hallelujah. It's yours. You got it. You could do it. You could do greater things than he did. Amen?
Amen.
You could do more than enough. You are the kids of the king, and you are good enough, and you're no longer going to be just in the just enough, because God wants us to rise up to that more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm preaching so good. I think I could sit down now. No, I'm just... Hallelujah. Okay. Well, Metamorpho Strong's says that you have been metamorphosized, metamorphosed. You're changed. Now I see the Holy Spirit taking off the dust off of those spiritual eyes, giving each of you revelation of who you truly are in Christ Jesus. It's exciting, because you're just going to jump up and say, wow, I am a king's kid, and I do have more than enough already. Amen?
Amen?
And you can shine with the light of Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured or metamorphosed before them, and his face did shine as a sun, as his raiment was white as the light. Just like Pastor Joshua says, we need to be glowers. We need to glow better than Moses did, because that light is in each one of us. And he didn't even have the filling of the Holy Spirit. But you do. Your light will never go out. Amen?
Amen.
See, you are changing from glory to glory, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed or metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the same Spirit. In summary, God has made you to go beyond just enough by making you more than a conqueror, a super conqueror over every lying challenge in your life. God wants you to give more than enough so you can obtain all the resources of heaven to prepare for the end times. God has made you good enough to take dominion today and reign over the earth, the heavens, and the underworld. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who's going to say, I am?
I am.
A king's kid.
A king's kid.
I am.
I am.
Good enough.
Good enough.
And I serve.
And I serve.
The God.
The God.
Of more than enough.
Of more than enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
I honor you today. My Heavenly Father, and I give you all that I have.
I give you all that I am.
In Jesus' name,
I am a super conqueror
and an ambassador of God
from my kingdom
in heaven. And I will never say again,
that I have lack.
I will never ask again,
for just enough.
God, give me,
more than enough,
today, from the resources of heaven,
in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Angels of God,
go.
In the name of Jesus,
and bring me more than enough
of every single thing
that I could ever need
or want
or imagine
or think of,
and bring it exceedingly
greater
than I could have thought of.
Now go
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.